The Minnesota Twins are for sale. Guess what? Your $1.5 billion isn't going to do it. Yes, welcome on in to First Pitch for Tuesday, March 25th, your source of news, notes, and updates on Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby. You can follow me on social media at Crosby Baseball. He's Troy Brock, Troy B Baseball on social media. And we're going to do our, I think today is our prediction show, right? Who's going to win the Cy Young, MVP, all of that stuff. But first, we got to talk about the Minnesota Twins. And I don't know if I've ever said that on the show before. Because there was some, there was an interesting development in their attempted sale process a little while back, where the Justin Ishiba, the presumed front runner, dropped out and instead increased his minority share of the Chicago White Sox, indicating that when Jerry Reisendorf dies, he'll probably purchase the rest of the club and take over the White Sox. From your mouth to God's ears, like, come on. And the guys at The Athletic have reported that the Twins, the Pollad family, is trying to sell the Twins, but the $1.5 billion purchase price that was suggested by a potential buyer is, quote, a non-starter. They're looking for at least $1.7 billion. The Orioles, the most recent franchise that sold, they went for $1.725 billion with arguably a more attractive situation because they own the broadcast network as well as the ballpark and all of that. So, like, I don't remember if the Orioles own Camden Yards or not, but, like, they own the broadcast. Like, they own MASN. So, arguably a more attractive situation. But at the same time, there's only 30 teams, and it's very rare that one of them comes for sale. The Nationals were originally thought to be available, and then the Lerner family backed out of that last spring. Are the Twins going to find somebody to pay $1.7 billion when you combine the couple negative factors here of their TV deal went under, their attendance has been dropping, and the team's debt is higher than average? They're reported to be somewhere like $425 million in debt.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a billionaire out there that's willing to drop $1.7 billion or more on a baseball team. Because as you said, there's only 30 of these. And while this one specifically is in debt, if the right person gets a hold of it and takes over as the controlling owner, they can turn this thing around. I mean, the Dodgers have always been a national name, but look what happened to them after the new ownership group bought them, what, a decade ago or so? Yeah. Like, they have been on the field, they've been dominant, and they've become even more of a household name across the whole world.
And a financial powerhouse after Guggenheim bought them out of bankruptcy, yeah.
And so if the right billionaire is out there, they can turn that situation around. They can take care of all that debt that the organization and the franchise has, and they can make it a more viable product. And again, if it is the right person, they could make the Minnesota Twins a legitimate contender perennially, just like the Guggenheim group has done with the Los Angeles Dodgers by being willing to spend money on players.
Listen, if every subscriber of First Pitch chips in $4.3 million, we can buy the Minnesota Twins. I will move to Minnesota to run the Minnesota Twins. That's fine. I won't even be in charge. I'll let somebody else actually run the baseball stuff. I'll just be in there urging everybody to spend more money. Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you. Like, it's these things come for sale so seldomly that somebody is going to buy it. It doesn't matter how expensive you make it. At some point in time, somebody will buy it. And you're getting to the point now in professional sports where you have to, one, be a billionaire to even buy any of these teams, obviously. But also, it means that there's no reason you can't be spending money when you buy them, because you are a billionaire that has to be at least a little bit liquid to do it in the first place. So you have to be hopeful. If you're a Twins fan, you have to be hopeful that somebody eventually meets their price so that if nothing else, you can get owners in there who have the capacity to spend more money and can hopefully figure all that stuff out. Who do you, any specific billionaire you want to go buy the Minnesota Twins?
The guy that owns Oracle, I can't think of his name right now. I'm gonna look him up right now. But I think he's up in that area. Larry Ellison. Yeah. I think he's up in that area because he helped the Michigan's NIL steal Bryce Underwood from LSU earlier this year. And so, he's got a buku amount of money. I know that the Giants stadium is called Oracle Park, but I mean, it doesn't mean he can't own a different team because his company is the sponsor of one team doesn't mean he can't own a different team. I don't believe
the owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves, Glenn Taylor, he was like a magazine newspaper guy. I think like he can do it. The Cargill family, the meat people, like they could do it. Like there's options to do it in Minnesota. So that would be fun to just get them a new owner. Okay. You want to do some award predictions here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. I guess individual awards. Let's start off on the pitching side, because I feel like this one, at least in the National League, is pretty easy to pick a winner. Real quick, are we establishing the rule that we can't pick the same person?
Yeah, let's do that. That'll make it more interesting.
Okay. In that case, I want to go first for Cy Young. And then after that, we'll rotate back and forth who goes first. But if you're trying to do who is the Cy Young winner in the National League, 100% you have to go Paul Skenes. I don't understand how you could pick anybody else other than Paul Skenes to be the favorite to win the Cy Young, just given the fact that he was a finisher last year, despite barely like beating 100 innings, right? Yeah. So Paul Skenes for me is who I have as my Cy Young favorite in the National League. I can guess who you're going to pick.
Yeah, I do like the Paul Skenes pick. That is a very safe pick. It's very likely, especially with what he did last year, plus adding more pitches to his repertoire this year, and yeah. It's going to be insane what he's going to do on the field this year. But yeah, you can probably guess my pick since you took Paul Skenes. It's going to be Zach Wheeler. Zach Wheeler's great, man. He's been so much better with the Phillies than he was during his time with the Mets. He's gotten over whatever the injury thing was that ailed him in New York, and he's been able to stay healthy and on the field for the most part. At least much more than he did during his time with the Mets. And he doesn't have as much, while he is the ace of the staff, he doesn't have as much pressure on him as other aces in other pitching staffs do because of how loaded that rotation is. Yeah. It's if Ranger Suarez does ever come back this season and does pitch at some point, then there's four aces in that staff and Jesus Luzardo. So it's one of the best pitching staffs, and Zach Wheeler should have won Cy Young. If Chris Sale didn't win the Triple Crown last year, Zach Wheeler would have been the Cy Young. My pick is Zach Wheeler.
Okay. Ooh, here's fun too. Let's also throw in a dark horse. Somebody who, just is not in the top like 10, but could get there this year. I've got two. So if you don't take one of my two, I'll say it after you get done. Dark horse number one for me, Clay Holmes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, I'm worried about the innings. I don't think he'll have enough innings. I think he's going to end up, usually those reliever to starter conversions, they end up being around 130 to 140 innings. But I think Blake Snell has shown that like you don't have to put up 200 innings to win a Cy Young. Yep. He won't win it with 130 unless he's dominant. Like Skenes last year was a finisher, a finalist. It was dominant without 162 innings. But I do like Clay Holmes as a dark horse because I'm a believer in the changes that he's made, the kit change and things like that. And as long as the workload is there for him, this could be a big year.
Yeah, I do like that pick. Also, I actually wrote about that yesterday for Mets on SI. David Schoenfield ran some projections on ESPN through with the Out of the Park Baseball computer video game. and projected Clay Holmes to have like a 2.29 ERA. I think that if he does hit 140, I think he's got a good chance of winning it. If he can do that over 140 innings, 130, not so much. But I think my dark horse is going to be Hunter Green.
Ballpark. But the stuff is good.
Yeah, tough ballpark. But yeah, stuff is good. And, you know, they've got, they just extended Jose Trevino. I really do think that because of his framing, he's going to catch Hunter Green for every Hunter Green start. And I think that's going to help on Hunter Green's control issues and bring him some more strikeouts, especially around the edges of the zone.
There you go. My other dark horse I had was Spencer Schwellenbach of the Braves. I don't want to sound like a homer, but I'm just really high on a lot of the changes, the additions he's made, and just how good he looked last year after those first five starts.
Yeah,
he was dynamic, like ERA under 2.5 after those first five starts. So some of the best control in baseball. I'm high on that. All right, American League
staffs. Two of the best pitching staffs in Major League Baseball are in the National East.
Yeah. And then there's also the Mets. That's why we're down on the Mets versus everybody else.
Exactly.
Okay, American League, you go first because I took National League first. Who do you like?
American League, I'm going to say Max Fried.
Okay.
I like Max Fried with the Yankees a lot. I think that he is going to be one of the lone bright spots of their season is Max Fried. He's very underrated. He's quietly one of the better pitchers, and you know this. He's quietly one of the better pitchers in Major League Baseball. If he can stay healthy this year, I think it's going to be Max Fried.
And even when he doesn't stay healthy, it's usually short-term 15-day IL stuff, a minor hamstring strain, a blister issue. He's only once hit the 60-day IL, and that was a forearm strain, and he came back from that just fine. So yeah, like he goes on the IL a lot, but he still puts up a lot of innings. Like that's kind of the weird thing there. I thought you were going to say Tarik Skubal, and I was about to go Garrett Crochet.
I do think
Garrett Crochet was amazing last year, and in his second year of the relief to starting conversion, I think you can see more. I think you can get to a qualify for the ERA title workload. I can't believe I would leave Tarik Skubal on the board, but I do think Garrett, like, it's going to be hard. Voters are going to judge Tarik Skubal off of what he did last year.
Yep.
And I do think that if he has any sort of stumble, they're going to hold it against him by saying he's not as good as he was last year. So I think Garrett Crochet would win the tiebreaker if they were equivalent, based on the fact that Skubal maybe doesn't repeat the amazing year he had last year. Who would be your dark horse outside of the top 10 here?
It's kind of crazy because at least to this point, as we've talked about the American League Cy Youngs, neither of us have mentioned any Seattle Mariners pitcher. and
they're all on the board too. Every single one of their starters is in the top, like 20 something, like top 25 in the Cy Young voting. Yeah.
And my pick for dark horse is still not going to be a Seattle Mariner. It's going to be Walker Buehler. I'm very high on Walker Buehler, and I think he has a bounce back season this year, and I could be dead wrong. He could be just as ass as he was last year, but I do think that Walker Buehler is going to be in the running.
He is 28th best odds on this sports book I'm not naming because they haven't paid us for that, plus 8,000. He's tied with Seth Lugo, Bailey Ober, and Taj Bradley and Bowden Francis.
Not a bad
Yeah, not a bad group. My dark horse, it's going to be tough early, but if you're looking for somebody that's completely outside of that top group, Ryan Pepio of the Rays. He's going to be their opening day starter now after Shane McClanahan's going to start on the IL. Been really impressive. Came out of that Dodgers pitching factory, went to the Rays, who were also a good pitching development organization. I think that entire Rays rotation, Shane Boz, Taj Bradley, that entire rotation is going to be a little bit underappreciated this year because they'll be in that minor league ballpark and some of the home numbers may not look great. But I think Ryan Pepio has everything he needs to get himself up into that conversation for Cy Young if everything breaks right. I wanted to go, I thought about Tanner Bibee too, and I was like, nah, let's not do that. All right, you want to move to Rookie of the Year or Comeback Player of the Year?
Let's do comeback player of the year.
Okay. I've given no thought to either one of these. National League comeback player of the year. It's my turn to go first, right? Yes. Sandy Alcantara. He looked so good in spring. Sandy looked so good in spring that as long as he can put up the innings he needs, it feels really tough to assume that he's not going to, if not win it, at least be in the top two. So give me Sandy for National League comeback player of the year.
Yeah, that's a solid one, though, especially because, I mean, he's going to want to pitch as many innings as he can. And so I do like that pick. I think that for me, comeback player of the year, National League East love today, it's going to be Spencer Strider.
Yep. He'll be back pretty early. I mean, he's already pitched twice in spring. He's made two starts in spring. So I've been talking on Braves today, mid-April, mid to late April. They have a homestand against the Twins and the Cardinals. You're probably trying to get him by the end of that homestand to make a start there, so he starts at home and not having to fly to the West Coast to make a start. But mid-April.
Yeah, and, you know, by mid-April, after that Twins homestand, they might not need to find a new owner anymore because it might be Spencer Strider.
Oh, man, a player owner, that's the thing I don't think we've had in like a decade, like a century in baseball. Okay, American League comeback player of the year. We don't need to do dark horses on that. I just want to put it on the record to say it. I like Casey Mize this year. I don't think he wins it, but I like Casey Mize with Detroit. I'm torn between Mike Trout and Jacob DeGrom. I want to believe in both of these guys. I'm going to choose to believe that Mike Trout in right field versus center field is cutting out enough wear and tear on him that he can play 120 games, maybe. And that he can be, and that if he does anywhere, if he does 80% of a historical Mike Trout season, he will be the American League comeback player of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you on that. I like that a lot too. But for me, I don't think that Jacob DeGrom's going to pitch enough to qualify to win comeback player
of the year. He'll be amazing when he's on the mound, but like, do you get double-digit starts out of Jacob DeGrom? I would love to. Baseball's better when you do, but will you?
Exactly. And so for me, I'm going to go with Bo Bichette. Contract year. He should be healthy this year, maybe. And both of those things playing in tandem with each other will put up one hell of a season from the shortstop.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about Bo Bichette. If you take out last year, he's a career 299 hitter.
Yeah.
Over 528 games. It is a statistically valid sample, right? Yeah. It's just last year he hit 225 with an OPS that was 200 plus points lower than his previous worst season. Like, it is very easy to see how that could have been an outlier.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that makes ton of sense. Like you said, platform year, he'll hit free agency. He'll be 28 before next season. His birthday's in like early March. That's a great call right there. I really do think that's a good one. Okay. Rookie of the year, National League rookie of the year. Roki Sasaki's the obvious pick. I'm going to go with Dylan Cruz of the Washington Nationals. He's not having to play center field. He's playing a corner, but he's got some speed. He's got some power. He's one of those like all around well-rounded baseball players. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the voters maybe acknowledge those guys more so than the statistical totals might suggest. He won't lead baseball in steals. He won't lead baseball in homers, but he'll do well in both respects. And that's not necessarily something that you always see. He got, a 31 game sample last year. He only hit 220, but like in the minors last year in Double A and Triple A combined, he had, 25 stolen bases and 13 homers in like 100 games. You give 162 games in the majors, he can have a 2020 year, or maybe even a 2030 year. And I think that unless somebody else pops off, that should be enough to get him up in the top three, probably.
Yeah.
Similar to Colton Cowser last year.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I like Dylan Crews a lot. I think the struggles last season when he did come up late in the year was not what we're going to see from him moving forward.
They handled that perfectly because they kept his rookie eligibility, but he got a good sample of what he struggles with at the major league level. He got like a month, what he needs to work on, what he struggles with, but he still has rookie eligibility. That is the perfect way to handle that, because now he can still be eligible, get you a draft pick if he wins it this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. This is very counterintuitive to everything I've said on this podcast over the past offseason, but my pick's going to be Roky Sasaki, just because I think that because of the hype that surrounds him, if he comes up and is just anywhere near a viable starting pitcher, I think that the voters are going to give him the Cy Young Award strictly because of hype, even if somebody else like a Dylan Crews does deserve it more. I do think he's going to be. I think Roky Sasaki's going to be a good pitcher. I just don't know if he's going to be a good pitcher as soon as this month or as soon as June or whatever the case may be.
I do think being on that team too, he'll probably be able to get some wins off of that offense and things like that. You know, has a really great bullpen that can hold a lead if he can get out of a game with the lead. Even if he doesn't go seven innings, if he can get through five and turn it into that pen, they're going to save a lot of wins for him. That makes sense to me. MVP in the National League.
Oh, we didn't do American League Rookie yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Thank you. American League Rookie of the Year. Thank you. I just kind of skipped over that. I'm going to go with. It's your turn. You're first. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I hope I'm not stealing your guy here, but I'm going to go with the guy that's been a rookie for like 8 years now and has been up and down throughout the major leagues, and everybody has clamored for him, and that's Jason Dominguez.
Did not steal my guy. No worries.
Okay. I think that this is the year that he finally sticks in the major leagues. The Yankees.
This is the year. Up he's and down. Focused. He's having fun. You know, Jason Dominguez. Yeah, yeah. If he's up all year, that makes sense.
Yeah. So that's my pick.
Wasn't my guy, thankfully. Christian Campbell of the Red Sox.
That's a good one.
We're East heavy in this one, but a starting spot on opening day. He's got versatility to kick to the outfield if he needs to. He's got some power. He's got some speed. I just always kind of like those Georgia Tech guys. I feel good. Like Christian Campbell would be my pick there. Although I wouldn't be surprised if one of these pitchers came out of nowhere, a Kumar Rocker, a Will Warren for the Yankees, something like that. But yeah, give me Christian Campbell on that. All right. National League MVP. I'm going to throw a curveball here. I'm not going to go with the guy who's won three of them in Shohei Ohtani. I'm going to go with Juan Soto. I think this is the year where he finally, like, he's in a ballpark where he can hit some homers. He doesn't get the short porch, but he's in a ballpark. He'll hit homers. He'll have protection in the lineup. I think this is the year, even though a lot of guys struggle in their first year with a new team, they underperform like power perspective and stuff like that. I think Juan Soto can do it this year.
Yeah, that was
especially if you're going to pass Ohtani, this is the year to do it.
Yeah.
Where Ohtani's trying to come back to the mound at the same time. Mookie Betts is down to 95 pounds. He's not going to be threatening. Fernando Tatis is not back to MVP form. You know, Kyle Tucker's on a new team for a year. It is a contract year for Kyle Tucker, but like, this is the year for Juan Soto. If you're going to do it, this is the year.
Bryce Harper also still exists, sir.
He's a first baseman.
That's true. No, because you didn't pick him, I'm going to pick Shohei Ohtani just because the voters just like
it's to Shohei Ohtani. Yeah.
Ohtani. Yeah.
He's won three of them. It's kind of hard to argue with that. He should be the favorite for all of them until proven otherwise.
Yeah. And I do like the Juan Soto pick. If you would have picked Shohei Ohtani, I was going to pick Juan Soto because I do agree with you. I think that Juan Soto is going to have a monster here in Queens. I love Juan Soto. I don't think I've hidden that well at all. I love Juan Soto. He's one of my favorite players in the sport. And there's really only one reason why I love Juan Soto as much as I do.
Why do you like him?
Because he gets on base.
And that's why I love Juan Soto. But yeah, my pick's going to be Shohei Ohtani.
I picked fourth in a fantasy draft last night, and I got Juan Soto. I was hoping to get that Bobby Witt Jr. would fall to me, and he didn't. And I'm like, I'll take Juan Soto in that on base percentage. That's great. I love that. Thank you so much. We can offset a bad on base somewhere later. All right.
Dark horse.
One. We got to. This is, I think, the final one here before we get out of here. We have to pick the World Series matchup and then the winner.
We also have to pick the American League MVP.
Dang it. Oh my gosh. What is with me just hating on the American League?
I mean, right, there's a lot to hate. American League MVP. American League MVP. Aaron Judge doesn't have much protection in that lineup anymore. As we've said multiple times,
he's going to have to produce.
He is going to have to produce. And I don't think that he's going to get pitched. I think he's going to get pitched around a lot more this year than he has been in years past, because that lineup is Aaron Judge and the boys. So I think that the American League MVP is going to be Byron Buxton. I'm just kidding. It's not Byron. No, I think the American League MVP this year is going to be Yordan Alvarez.
That is not where I thought you were going with that. I guess we have shown now that DHs can win. Otani's broken the seal on that. Even last year, just being a DH, although he had the steals, Yordan's not going to have that. I was really nervous you were taking Bobby Witt Jr. because I had nobody else I really liked for this other than Bobby Witt Jr. I'm glad you took Yordan. Bobby Witt Jr. had like the most at-bats of anybody in baseball with nobody on base in front of him last year.
Yeah.
And Jonathan India is there, and it's a huge addition for the Royals. Simply.
Why do you like him?
Because
he gets on base.
Yep.
So give me Bobby Witt Jr. I'm Bobby Witt Jr. I like it. I think he can put up 100 RBI this year if he can get guys in front of him, as well as the power and the speed and all of that, the defense. He could be that dude that's like a gold glove and silver slugger and MVP all in the same year. Generational type season. Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah, I like it. You want to do dark horses NL and AL quickly before we do World Series?
Yeah, let's do that. All right, so MVP, dark horse in the National League. I'm always first on the National League. I want to go with the young player. Michael Harris II.
Ooh, I like it.
With the 2 years he's been healthy, he hasn't gotten full seasons because he was called up late 1 year and he had a minor issue, like a back thing 1 year. But he hit close to 300 and he was like a homer away from a 2020 season. I think if he can be healthy the full season, batting in the middle of that lineup, you know, behind that group of Riley and Olsen and Ozuna, they have him batting right behind Marcell Ozuna a lot this year. If he can bat 300 and be healthy the full year and go 25-25 or 30-30, I think he's a dark horse in there for MVP. I do think if every single thing broke right, he could be a 40-40 guy. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's my dark horse is Michael Harris II. And that's a deep, dark throw. Like, there's so many guys like a Kyle Tucker, Corbin Carroll, who should be ahead of him, but I wanted to go deep dark throw. Michael Harris. Yeah.
You're going a lot deeper than I am, because I'm going to say L.A. De La Cruz. Strictly because the top
plus of the National 2000 League is L.A. De La Cruz. He's like seventh on the board.
Yeah. Go ahead. So, but it's just the top of the National League in the MVP race is just so top heavy. And that's not to discredit L.A. De La Cruz in any way, but I think he's finally going to put it all together this year and put up numbers that are worthy of winning could do it and could potentially win the MVP.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, he's got everything he needs to do it. He's got the power. Yeah. He's got the speed. He's a good defender. He's got everything he absolutely needs to do that. So I like that. All right. American League. I'm trying to think, let me see here. American League dark horse. I want to go with the young, you know what? No, I've got a dark horse because I don't think people realize how good he was last year. Hang on. Let me confirm. I have these stats right before we do this. All right. 39 home runs, 112 RBI, and a 10th place finisher in MVP with a silver slugger. It's a DH in the American League. Who is that?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
I thought you were going Jose Ramirez.
No. 10th place. He's also a good underrated guy. But no. 10th place finisher in MVP. Silver slugger. 39 home runs. 112 RBI. Hit 293 last year. Who did that? Who, in the American League. Who is that guy? Signed a new deal this offseason.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't.
Brent Rooker.
Oh, God.
You take Brent Rooker, you put him in that minor league ballpark with that lineup, with the Lawrence Butler, with like all those young players that they have. Brent Rooker could hit 50 home runs this year.
Yeah.
In that ballpark, he could hit 50 home runs with 120 RBI and close to 100 runs scored. Again, yeah. He hit 293 with a 927 OPS. It was a 165 OPS plus last year. People don't really, he as a DH, he played a little bit of outfield, but mostly DH. He was worth 5.6 war last year. It could be a 6 war season for Brent Rooker if everything breaks right.
Yeah.
Brent Rooker is a super deep dark horse for me in the AL MVP.
That's a very good pick. I like that a lot. I thought about staying with the Sacramento Athletics as well and going Lawrence Butler, but I am going to go back to the East. I'm going to say Alex Bregman because of what he can do with the Green Monster.
Pepper in that wall.
I think he's got a good chance of breaking the doubles record, the all-time single-season doubles record with the Green Monster over there.
What is the all-time single-season doubles record?
I don't know. I can look it up real quick. But
I got to go ahead.
Alex Bregman, he pulls the ball well, and he's not going to hit a lot of home runs. He's not a home run guy outside of 2019 with the rabbit ball. But I do think, you know, there were a few players last year that flirted with reaching 60 home runs, and they were on pace for doing that. And then it never came to be. But I think we see at least 60 doubles this year from Alex Bregman, and I think he does well with his new team and being reunited with Alex Cora and Alex Cora's trash cans.
Nice. The most recent guys here, Freddie Freeman had 59 in 2023. Nick Castellanos had 58 in 2019. Yep. The record is 1931, Earl Webb hit 67.
Oh, okay. So just 68 doubles.
Yeah, just 68 doubles. Just one every other game. I mean, or actually, no, less than that. I can't do math. One every 2.5 games. There you go. You hit one double a series. You have a couple games where you pop off for multiple, and you got the record. It's not that hard.
Yeah, that hard. Easy.
All right.
World Series matchup.
There you go. World Series matchup. Yeah, let's get that knocked out real quick. World Series matchup is the same rule. We can't pick. We can't pick the same teams.
I don't know. That's going to be kind of tough.
Okay.
I think we can pick the same teams. I don't know if we will, but I think for this we can pick the same team.
Dodgers versus Red Sox.
Ooh.
Yeah, the Red Sox. They've got all of the young bats. A couple of them hit. If Bregman sets the doubles record. All of the pitching they have that's supposed to come back from injury, Garrett Crochet in the front of the rotation, like Dodgers versus Red Sox, I think could happen. I don't like any of the American League options, honestly. But
no, you're not wrong.
Dodgers versus Red Sox, like if it was NL versus AL, I'm taking NL in 5 games, no matter who it is. But
yeah,
Dodgers versus Red Sox is my pick.
I am going back to the East. And for me, it's going to be the Texas Rangers again, because it's every other year thing with Bruce Bochy, versus the Atlanta Braves.
You know, I'm a fan of that prediction. I would love to. I would love for that to happen. Listen, my mom lives in Dallas, so like I could go to the away games too.
Yeah, that's how my wife and I went to game 2 of the World Series of the Phillies and Astros, because her mom lives in Houston, and so we went to Minute Maid Park when it was Minute Park.
Boom. There you go. There's our predictions. Who do you World have Series. Winning, by the way? I have the Dodgers beating Red Sox in that one.
I have the Braves beating the Rangers. And then for World Series MVP, I have Ronald Acuña Jr.
Thank you for your service, sir. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. I'm a fan. This has been First Pitch for Tuesday, March 25th. Listen on audio. Do us a favor. Leave us a 5-star review. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell so you know when we drop that next episode. Until next time, this has been First Pitch.